Have you ever faced external pressures or internal stress? No. Well, over the last couple of months, I've been facing some pressures and some stress. In fact, a bit out of character to me, I've found myself struggling with an internal distress over certain situations. At times, I was becoming reactive and even defensive, which is very unlike me. In the areas of relationships, I was finding God was bringing me out of my comfort zone. In the areas of ministry, where normally I'd be confident, I would find myself flowing in the gifts and strengths and callings that God's given me, the things I know of His Word, what He's trained me in. And yet I was finding myself time and time again in situations where I was feeling inadequate and totally limited. The title of this message is called Stepping Out of the Safe Zone. Everyone has their comfort level. But God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, let me try and illustrate this with just a very simple example. What is the world's way for getting ahead? You can talk to me here. What is the world's way for getting ahead, especially in work situations? Money. Power, what, from the back? Striving, okay. Yes, walking all over others, pleasing the boss regardless of integrity issues, lying, manipulating, covering up for the end justifies the means. They're all the ways of the world in getting ahead. But what's God's way? Luke 16:10 to 12 says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" So God's way is, if we will be faithful in little, God can entrust us with greater responsibility. If we are faithful to serve in another man's property, another man's ministry, another man's work, then God says we can be trusted with our own. If we're dishonest with little, we'll be dishonest with much. If we would be responsible with material things on earth, God can trust us with true riches. So the principle is very, very different. God's ways are not our ways. Okay. Let me give an example, Renee's example. A couple of weeks ago, we had a number of young people that were over for an evening meal at our place, and a couple of girls just stayed chatting around the kitchen table, and they began to open up and were quite honest about some of the situations that they had been facing at work. Well, for Renee, her world of safety, if you like, at work is based on the idea that if I please and if I don't confront, then my work situation is safe. But there was a test that she said took place, and the test was this. The boss came in one day and put on a desk a speeding fine, which was his speeding fine. And he said, "I want you to get one of the other employees to put their name on that for me." And suddenly, this nice, safe work situation became where Renee was feeling vulnerable, fearful, and insecure. And she was saying, "God, what do I do?" And several weeks went by, and there was actually no answer from heaven that could enable her to stay in her safe zone and know what to do. And so she did nothing. Until another new employee arrived and was joining in the office part of the work, And then the idea came, I will put this over on this girl's desk. And I'll just say, the boss said to put so-and-so's name on it. She can take care of it. So not only was Renee feeling vulnerable and insecure, now she was feeling frustrated, disappointment, and defeat because she had a desire for something greater. She wanted to be light and salt. She was young in her faith, and she wanted to be different to the other girls at work. She wanted to be an example. She wanted to be a witness. And yet she could not be that while she stayed within her safe zone. Over the kitchen table, I shared the story about that Nikki Gumbel tells of a man who was working in London, and one day he had a phone call for the boss, and he said to the boss, it's for you. And the boss sort of indicated, just tell him I'm not here. And he hands the phone to the boss and says, you tell him. Well, once the boss got off the phone, he was furious. And, how dare you? And this Christian man just very, very calmly said, if I can lie for you, I can lie to you. And very shortly after that boss began to promote him higher and higher in the company because he could see this is a man that can be trusted. And yet even with a story like that, unless Renee was willing to die to her fears and her insecurities, die to the need to please the boss, she still couldn't step out of that. But if she would die to that and step out in faith, trusting God with the outcome, trusting God with her work and her career, etc., and her security, then her limited, rigid, safe zone would go soft and would start to enlarge. And instead of the boss being her safety and his pleasure, God would become her safety and God's pleasure. And she would go from fears to trust and confidence. She would go from disappointment to victory. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Our thoughts and ways always gravitate to our particular safe zone. What is familiar, what is comfortable to us, what we know, what we understand, what we experience, and what we think we can control. But our ways are not God's ways. For he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So one of God's ways is to help us step out of the safe zone. In fact, he will do just about absolutely anything to get us to step out of that particular safe zone we're in. I've identified three key things. There's probably more, but these are three that I've become aware of. One is God puts a desire in our heart, a calling, a promise for something higher. Secondly, he will discipline us in love. And thirdly, he will allow us to face trials and tests to bring us to a place of maturity and leaving behind that infant, rigid little playpen of safety that we build around ourselves. Let's have a look at the example of Peter. And this is the occasion where in the middle of the night in a storm on the lake, Jesus comes walking to the disciples on the water. And Peter has this desire, having seen Jesus walking on the water, he begins to dream, well, what if, could I do that? And so he asks Jesus, tell me to come to you on the water. And so the boat, if you like, represents his safe zone. That's the only place of safety in a storm in the middle of a very, very large inland sea. And yet when Peter heard the word come, he let go what was familiar, what he knew, what he experienced. He stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. And while he kept his focus on Jesus, he was fine. And then when he began to look at the circumstances and begin to feel vulnerable, inadequate, fearful and insecure, he began to sink. Have you ever wondered what the other disciples were thinking, especially Thomas? What do you reckon Thomas would have been saying at that point? I told you not to get out of the boat. You just about drowned us getting out as well. Whatever it was. He says, you know, no normal person walks on water. We're fishermen, you know. You can't do that. But was Peter safe out of the boat? He was safe when he was walking on the water. He was also safe when he was drowning because Jesus was with him. It was more safe than staying in the confines of the boat. Let me apply this concept into a totally different arena altogether. Bree and my marriage. We knew God sovereignly directed our lives to bring us together. We had no doubt whatsoever that God was in this marriage. And yet, when he brought us together, I brought my little safe zone and Bree brought her little safe zone and they were different. Do you realize that? In fact, my idea of spirituality was very different to Bree's. In the area of values, I valued things like principles and structure. Bree valued things like relationships. In the areas of, I would justify thinking that I was right because of my logic and my reasoning. And Bree would think that she was right because of her intuition and her discernment. And so there was constantly these times where we would bump up against one another. There'd be friction. And it was only as we died to our understanding, as we died to my way of looking at things, as we allowed another person's perspective to shape us and enlarge our viewpoint, enlarge our experiences and our understanding, then those things that were the greatest conflict in our marriage became the greatest stepping stone to a higher level of relationship. And God has constantly used that through our marriage. And we've got a good marriage. But there's been these times where the friction of two different safe zones butt up against one another. Let's come back to Peter, the Last Supper. Again, Peter's desire was he wanted to be a good follower of Jesus. Everything within Peter wanted to follow Jesus to the end. And he declared that even if everyone else denies you, I will never deny you. But you see, Jesus knew Peter's safe zone, where he would be under a test, become vulnerable, fearful, and insecure, and would in fact deny Jesus three times. He couldn't do it under the test, even though he wanted to do something different and be someone different. Under the test, he couldn't do it. And he became broken, disappointed, and defeated. But you know what Jesus said to Peter at the Last Supper? He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith would not fall. Not I will pray for you that you won't deny me. Jesus knew Peter could not stand at that moment in his journey because of his safe zone. But he said, I've prayed that your faith would not fall. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. And so Jesus knew that if he would not lose his faith, there would be a way to restore him and Peter would grow through this situation. And so on the beach following Resurrection Sunday, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Why? Because Jesus knew that if he loved Jesus and God more than his fear of man, he would one day lay down his life. And he recalled him. He said, go feed my sheep. And he actually prophesied to Peter and said, the day will come, they will crucify you. Yes, Jesus knew that he would come to a place where he would stand, even though at that moment he hadn't passed the test. Let me come back to Renee's story. This is example number two. We had a whole lot of sharing that night, and this is just another one. Renee talked about a situation at work where one of the other colleagues was commenting on another staff member who was going through a divorce and basically saying, it's for the best thing that they get divorced, isn't it? And fear, vulnerability, insecurity, screaming up. Renee says nothing. It's obviously for the best thing, isn't it? And she sort of felt backed into a corner to agree with this woman against God's word. Again, feeling defeated, frustrated, disappointed. She wanted something better. Well, when we talked about that, I shared a couple of things, and one of the things I shared was Satan wants us to believe that we've always missed it. In fact, many times we can redeem the situation by simply saying, God, I want to deal with why the issue of why I couldn't step out. And I also want to be learn from the situation so that if I'm in it again, you can help me through it. And you can always go back to people at times and say, look, you know, I apologize, da, da, da. Or you can say, you know, I was thinking about our conversation the other day. And then you relaunch back in and redeem it. Well, I got an email from Renee during the week. She said this to me. A few days later, that's after our conversation around the dinner table, I attended a workshop. It was just myself and one other person. The lady running it ended up sharing her life story with us and revealed that she was going through a marriage separation. I sat there with eyes wide open, thinking, oh dear God, this is another test. But this time, you've put me in this so that I can pass. So I sat there quietly listening to her share her hurt. God gave me wisdom to see the whole situation and where the core issues was, but I still remained quiet until she turned around to me and asked me the big question. So what do you think I should do? Should I divorce him or keep trying? What a God setup. I took a deep breath and the strangest thing happened. The other person suddenly needed to go to the bathroom, so I had a window of alone time with this lady. I shared with her what I saw to be the core issues, and she said to me, you have only known me for 5 minutes, and you were able to tell me something that I'm paying a psychologist to tell me? This is a young adult lady, young in her faith. I sympathized with her and acknowledged the hurt and the difficult situation she was in. But after doing what I shared with her, what God's original design for man and woman was, and how he holds vows as a very sacred thing, no matter how hard things get. After a few words, I counseled her not to divorce. She said to me, you know, very few people have advised me to be hopeful like you. It's nice and very refreshing. And some of Renee's reflections were this. God gave me another test situation, not only so I could pass it, but so I could see that if I don't waver out of fear, but stay steadfast to his word, anything is possible. The whole time this was happening, I was saying to God, I can't do this. I need someone else stronger in the faith to do this. But God threw me in the deep end anyways. And he didn't do it to punish me, but to teach me and to make me learn how to swim. Then I got another email about a second speeding fine that turned up. And she talked with the other girl and explained her concerns. And then Renee, went into the boss and just spoke very honestly, very straight, that, you know, basically you can do what you want, but we are very uncomfortable and we are not prepared to do this. So he said, fine, I'll get so-and-so to do it. But Renee went from defeat to victory. She went from fear to trust and grew, and her safe zone has just expanded tremendously. Hallelujah. Okay, let's come back to Peter. Do you know, following Pentecost, where Peter's, you know, preaching the kingdom of God to the Jews as he's called to by God, one day this good Jewish boy raised in a Jewish home has a dream, a vision. And in the vision, this large sheet is lowered from heaven to earth, full of all non-kosher food to a Jew, all the animals that they're forbidden to eat. And God says, get up, Peter. Kill and eat. Well, you can imagine the response. Peter says, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And God says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Peter comes out of this vision and he's wondering, what on earth was that about? And then God says to him, some men are knocking on the door. I have sent them. You go with them. And so he's going out of his comfort zone where his whole life he's been told don't have anything to do with a non-Jew, a Gentile. And God's sending him where? Into the home of a Gentile. Totally out of his comfort zone. In fact, he would have to be feeling very vulnerable, very insecure. But Peter, in submission and obedience, hears the Lord's test and goes into that situation. And the first words out of Peter's mouth, you know what they were? It is unlawful for me as a Jew to be in the home of a Gentile, but God has shown me not to call any man unclean. Do you know in the test, God never explains himself? He just told Peter to go. He didn't explain. And on top of that, God did not reveal what the new expanded zone would mean. And in the middle of this test, Peter says this. He gets a revelation. I now realize how true it is that God doesn't show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation. The Holy Spirit falls into place. These Gentiles get filled with the Spirit. They get baptized. And suddenly God has opened a door to the nations to hear about Christ. Peter had no idea that if he would step out of the safety of his theological old wineskin, that he would step into the new wineskin that God had intended, that not just the house of Cornelius, but nations would come into the kingdom of God. And you have no idea the test you face is not just for your victory or the victory for that woman you're witnessing to about divorce. It may open up things beyond your wildest dreams if you would but go through that door and take a step of faith. What about in many of us, we have old wineskins, especially theological old wineskins, where we have declared somewhere in life, it is unlawful for me to jump up and down and shout or be on the floor seemingly out of control or speak in tongues or worship with my hands up or whatever it is that you have somewhere in life said, it is not lawful for me. That might be an old wineskin, your little safe zone, what you have created. And God says, I want to bring you into something new. But are you willing to face your fears where you feel vulnerable and insecure and step out into things that I've got for you? What about Ray? Ray gets up from the drums. He tells us a story of years ago speaking a word to someone, having no idea, facing his fear. And yet he comes back just now with an amazing story of God at work. That's what God wants for all of us. If I had time, and I tell you, I've worked hard to keep this short. You better believe me. But if I had time, I could tell you so many stories, and I love to look at some of the other things of Peter's life. Do you just have a think of this? Look at this diagram of Peter's many tests. Every situation that Peter encountered was a test to get out of his safe zone. Whether it's fishing all night, he's the expert. He knows everything about fish. And Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side. Totally out of his comfort zone. He doesn't want to do that. And yet he takes a step of faith. Some of the tests he failed, but God restored him and he kept learning and growing. Do you get the idea that God might be relentless to bring you to a place to do everything to get you out of your little safe parameter that you have created for yourself? Well, that's what I've been going through anyhow. I don't know about you guys, but I realized that God was stripping away a lot of things and putting me in vulnerable places and uncomfortable places because he was trying to bring me to a new territory in him, a new zone. Who knows what the potential of that door if I will go through it? But it was a struggle. It was a struggle for me. And I actually went to see someone that I to seek their counsel and just say, I'm struggling right now. I'm trying to understand what God's doing. I know he's pruning. I know he's after something in me. I can't quite get my finger on it. And as we talked, as we prayed it through, that day I began to die to some things. I began to say, God, I let go of my understanding. I let go of my need to lead things the way I think they should be led. For things to happen the way I've already worked out what you have done, God, and I've got my theology and I've got my whatever. And I begin to die to those things. And then for the next 24 hours, God would just bring little thing. Okay, God, I'm dying to that. One after another. And I'll tell a secret. Jeff's not here. I've got absolute respect for Jeff. I hold him very, very highly in my esteem. But sometimes Jeff says some things and his way of leading makes me uncomfortable and challenges sometimes my thinking. And do you know what God thinks of that? He's going, yeah! And I've talked through some stuff with Jeff, but I've said to him this. I said, Jeff, I am submitting and following your leadership because I believe God has anointed you to bring us into the new wineskin that you have called us as a church to go into. And even though at times I will sometimes be uncomfortable and sometimes I will struggle with some of the stands you're making because you're pushing us to a new zone, bring it on. That's what we need. I'll skip the next part. Go to your test. Go to your test. Where are you at this morning? What's your safe zone? If you ever go through the emotions of feeling vulnerable, uncomfortable, inadequate, fearful, insecure, reactive, defensive, frustrated, under pressure, externally, internally, then just maybe God's wanting you to die to something that you hold dear in your area of safety and take a step of faith following the desires and commands and word of God to you. If you're in that place or may one day be in that place, here's just a couple of thoughts that may help you process this. One, pursue your heart's desires and the Lord's promises. When God puts a desire in your heart, when he calls you to something beyond yourself and you get to the places of frustration and it's not happening, there's something God's after that needs killing off in you so that his promise can happen his way. Secondly, sit with the tension. And this is especially for you blokes. Sit with attention. Don't run from it or try to fix it too quickly. We all like to get back to comfort and safe in our marriages, in our walk with God, in our work, whatever it is. Allow God time to reveal your thoughts and ways versus his. Sometimes you've got to sit with the struggle for a while to let God bring up what he's trying to bring to the surface. The next one, remember, the problem is not others, it's you. I know that's an overstatement, okay? If someone said that, I'd be going in my mind, yeah, but. It's a deliberate overstatement. Because our tendency is to always think the problem's the other person's or the problem's in this circumstance, if only the circumstance was different. But when it comes to this kind of concept, God is after something in you. So it doesn't really matter if the problem's with someone else. God's after something in you. So the first thing is check, God, are you after something in me, rather than initially thinking it's all the other person. I think Jesus said something similar. He said, take the log out of your own eye, then you can help take the speck of dust out of someone else's. And there is a time to speak up. There is a time to bring challenge to others. But hey, let's first check to see if there's something God's doing with. And just an example for you. In this couple of months journey, numbers of things happened that were stirring me up. But when I died to some of that stuff, God put me into a totally new situation, but very similar to another situation over here. And I found myself totally relaxed. Instead of distressed and frustrated and all these other thoughts going on, I was really at peace. Now, I could still see everything that I thought could have been done better and different and all those kinds of things, but it was like it didn't hook up in me like before. So I was free. The log had been taken out of my eye. So these are ways of aligning our thoughts to God's. Here's a couple more. If defeated, don't lose faith. Let the brokenness lead you to your restoration and calling. Sometimes in our brokenness, it drives us in desperation to God, I don't care what it takes, I'm after this thing that you've put in my heart, whatever it is. The next one. Consider trials God's gift to grow you. So don't fight it, go with it. The New Testament writers say things like, consider it pure joy when you go through trials of all kind. So you can say, God, thank you for the frustration. Thank you for the pressure. This is exciting that I have so much internal stress right now. And God, I think all the problems with them, but God, thank you, you're doing something in me right now. Consider it pure joy because God's trying to grow you out of your playpen into a much bigger playing field. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. You are relentless in using the weaknesses and sin and evil of others and the challenges of circumstances to help us step out of our safe zone, where we come to not rely on our inadequacies and focus on our vulnerabilities and insecurities, but we begin to encounter you and your adequacies and your provisions and your strength. Lord, we want to tell you today that we're willing to die to those things that we have held dear in order to keep our world safe and tight. And we're willing to take a step of faith in obedience to your callings, your dreams that you put in our heart, and your word that always speaks truth. Thank you that we are safe in you. Amen. I don't know what you're going to do with a message like that. I'm preaching to myself as usual.